Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to Dudes on Hockey, episode 103. Thanks for coughing right there at the beginning when I started recording, dude. Appreciate that. Thanks for...
Do you want to fight? Is that how you want to start? I know you're upset about the Flyers, but if you're trying to pick a fight with me...
Dude,
at the beginning of the show, when we have such a great show lined up, we have Eric Lundquist from the Worcester Sharks on the show.
I know.
And now you want to start it off like this?
I'm just saying that, you know, everybody gave me all this crap after I make one little mistake in last week's podcast. Ooh, okay. So I didn't know two guys were brothers, blah, blah, blah. And then we start recording and then right in the beginning. Thanks, dude.
I wasn't even going to mention that, but now that you did.
It was funny, though.
I thought it was great, and a lot of people thought it was one of the best moments of the podcast history. I just have a quick question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that Wayne Simmonds and Gene Simmonds are brothers?
They might be.
Okay.
I think they're equally related. Wayne Simmonds is to Gene Simmonds as Jason Demers is to Julian Demers.
Very good, dude.
I could take like the Miller analogies test and become a shrink or something.
Outstanding moment. Certainly more outstanding than the Flyers' performance last night.
Yes, that's true. And we were so down on the Flyers because we have money on them to win the Stanley Cup, and they lost the first two games, and we thought we're screwed. But then I quoted Pierre Maguire against my own better judgment, and then he turned out to be right, and they won two games in Philly, and I was feeling really good, and then they got spanked in game five. So
Everyone's winning their home games, so you know we certainly have no reason to believe that the Flyers won't come out on Wednesday and win in Philly,
mm-hmm.
and that sets up that Game 7 epic showdown that you were talking about, how great it would be to see that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think all hockey fans would want to see a Game 7, and really when Game 7 rolls out there, anything can happen, dude.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's nothing better in sports than Game 7 in the Stanley Cup Finals. It can't be beat. I don't care about any other sports, World Cup, championship, whatever you want to call it, even though the World Cup's this year. But Game 7 Stanley Cup Finals is just the best. It's just the best. And go Flyers. They can still win this thing, dude.
Dude, they can. Yeah. I want to go to Vegas so bad.
Yeah.
And cash that ticket.
Oh, God, that would be fun, huh? Road trip?
Oh, we're just getting right in the car. When the game is over, if they win, we just get in the car and go.
And we just happen to go right when the award ceremony is in Vegas, and then we just, you know,
accidentally. Sorry, Henrik Lundqvist.
Yeah, sorry about
that.
Oh,
hello.
Nice suit.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's good to see you, AO.
Yeah.
Kovey, where are you going?
UC Okanen, why are you here? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
All that.
This reminds me, I've been listening to old podcasts,
mm-hmm.
and...
Were they like really, really bad?
No, they're not really bad, but we just have said some funny stuff, and we were really excited about the Olli Jokinen trade for Phoenix. We were really excited about that. We were really high on Olli Jokinen about two summers ago.
Yeah, I guess we were.
I guess his stock has fallen quite a bit. I mean,
yeah.
You know, from then, but I just thought that was funny. I mean, do you really think that guy's going to get anything more than, you know, a two or three? Who makes more money, Seto or Olli Jokinen in this offseason?
Still Jokinen.
You think so?
He's a center.
Yeah, but he is so mediocre, dude.
Yeah, but I read Puck Prospectus, and
right.
They use this really dorky statistic called GVT, goals versus threshold, and they had the top 10 improving players, like the biggest jump in GVT over season, and then biggest setback in GVT overseason. Devin Setoguchi, one of those on the most disappointing in terms of setbacks.
Was Jokinen on there too?
No, he was not. He was not.
Oh, so. No, because he's not in the declining category because he has already declined.
It's either that or he just didn't decline precipitously enough, to be honest with you.
Oh, man.
So there's that. But yeah, so Flyers still can win, dude. There's still a lot of questions about the Sharks. We're trying to address them one by one.
Now, I don't have the stats in front of me, dude, but mm-hmm. the Flyers' top line has really, really struggled in the Stanley Cup Finals.
So is the Hawks.
So, you know, when you look at how that's shaken out, I mean, really, the secondary play is becoming the key to this series.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, who's got the better supporting cast?
Yeah. I mean, can a guy like Claude Giroux come in big? You know, a guy like JVR, James Van Riemsdyk, who was a number two overall pick, I think, behind Malkin, was it?
And he's really struggled.
Yeah, he's really struggled, and he got benched in favor of Carcillo, and now he's back.
Yeah, that didn't last very long.
No, not really. Not really. But, you know, I admire that. You know, why not? Just go for it. See if you can shake them up. I mean, they got some smaller guys in the lineup. Chicago does. Why not see if you can get under their skin a little bit? Unfortunately, Carcillo got under somebody's skin, but it was Jeff Carter's when he popped him.
Right. I think you're right, dude. I think the Flyers have another win in them, and then we'll see what happens. Game 7. Yeah. It's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
And we're going to go to Vegas.
We're going to go to Vegas, but first we're talking to Eric Lindquist, who is the voice of the Worcester Sharks. He's going to give us all of his expertise about these minor league guys. We talk about them throughout the year. We don't really get to see them. This guy sees every single game. He knows what he's talking about. So we talk to him and defer to him about the Worcester Sharks. Check it out. All right, we're joined on this episode of Dudes on Hockey by Eric Lindquist, the Director of Public Relations and Broadcasting for the Sharks minor league affiliate, the Worcester Sharks. Eric, how are you today?
Getting ready for the Celtics and Lakers later on tonight, sweeping Massachusetts. So just getting ready for the basketball game tonight and miss the hockey season.
Yeah, I hear you. So we'll start you out with Worcester Sharks. I mean, this is a... While the Sharks had a playoff run, the Worcester Sharks had their own playoff run. Can you talk a little bit about how you felt the team did in the regular season? I know this is a really young team, but yet they still did fairly well in the playoffs. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, you know, we had no idea what type of hockey team we'd have in Worcester, you know, going into the season. We knew we were going to be really young, and that was about it. We had a couple of goaltenders that we weren't too familiar with, and Alex Daylock and Tyson Sexsmith. We heard both of them were really good, but until you see them play, it's kind of, I guess, tough to gauge, you know, how good you're going to be in net. And, you know, we knew we had a guy like Couture and maybe McGinn. You know, we thought maybe we'd have Jason Demers and, you know, Mike Moore, Derek Joslin. And, you know, we kind of had to wait to see how the chips fell in San Jose. But, you know, once Worcester got going and Alex Daylock kind of took the, you know, the bull by its horns and net, we knew early on that we have potential to be a very good team. And, you know, that was the case, you know, throughout the year, riding Alex Daylock and at times 13 rookies in the lineup. So it was a fun, it was an exciting season, and got to watch quite a few players develop, you know, over the year as, you know, the Worcester Sharks were the youngest team in the American Hockey League. So it was, you know, by far, you know, the most exciting season of hockey we've had here in Worcester.
Now, from our point of view right now, you know, the Sharks, major league club, has some major decisions to make, and if getting a Bakhov is one of them. From your point of view, how ready is Alex Stalock to maybe come in and have an NHL job? And how would you compare him to Thomas Greiss, especially the success Greiss had last season?
Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, that question comes up quite a bit, you know, even during the year. You know, how good is this kid, like, Stalock? And, you know, a lot of the times when Worcester went ahead and played, you know, some of the other teams in the American Hockey League that we don't see all that often, you know, we'd have people come up to us in the press box and say, boy, this kid Stalock is good in that, you know, he is what everyone's been talking about. So, you know, Alex Daylock, you know, I was fortunate enough to be in Lowell for Cam Ward's rookie season before he made the jump to the National Hockey League with Carolina. And there were quite a few similarities between, you know, Stalock and, you know, Cam Ward, just, you know, the competitive nature and, you know, the way he, you know, held himself in practice as opposed to in the games. It's that same type of intensity where he doesn't like when the puck gets behind him. You know, he doesn't care if it's his roommate Logan Couture shooting on him or one of the snipers in the American Hockey League. He plays each play the same way, and that's not to let the puck in. You know, Greiss, you know, him and Stalock are very different in many ways. You know, Greiss, you know, he's a goaltender that doesn't really wear his heart on his sleeve, you know, which you know, is certainly different to, you know, Stalock. You know, Stalock's fiery. You know, Grice, sometimes you can't tell if, you know, we won 3-0 or we lost 3-0. He's got, you know, Grice has that kind of, you know, I'm only as good as, you know, that last save or, you know, or that sort of feeling. So, you know, is Stalock ready to make the jump to the NHL? You know, who knows? I guess it's one of those things, you know, we didn't know how good Stalock was going to be in the AHL, and he went ahead and set the rookie record for wins by a rookie goaltender with 39. And you're not going to know until you go ahead and put him in net, I think. But he's got all the tools, and I know everyone around the American Hockey League, they certainly enjoyed watching him play, and he's going to be real good. Or he is real good.
Yeah, maybe they'll be rooting for him to make the team.
Yeah, well, you know, it's we wouldn't hate to have Stalock down here in Worcester one more year and get a little more seasoning in. He did leave University of Minnesota Duluth a year early to come play pro hockey. So, you know, again, it all depends what happens up in San Jose. And our fingers are crossed, selfishly, that, you know, Stalock is here in Worcester come next season.
Well, I'm going to switch gears, actually, to a guy that quietly had an amazing season. And, you know, speaking from Sharks fans, you know, we read about the Worcester Sharks as much as we can. But this is a guy, frankly, that didn't get mentioned very often in terms of, oh, could he be on the Worcester shuttle? And that's Danny Gruhl. He won the Eddie Shore Award for the AHL Best Defenseman. And we never really heard any rumors or ideas about this guy being called up. And looking at his stats, he has no NHL games played in his career. Looks like I think he signed actually in the Russian League, but can you give us some insight as to how a guy can perform like this so well in the AHL and never really even play a single NHL game? And was there something about either his size or his playing style or something about him that maybe put him in that position?
You know what? It's if you look around, you know, the American Hockey League, there's actually quite a few players that would kind of fit a Danny Gruhl, you know, type of player, in a way that, you know, you can't understand why, you know, for whatever reason, he hasn't seen some NHL action. Of course, this year, his first year in Worcester after, you know, making some stops around the American Hockey League in Europe, you know, grew, played in all 80 games, led the way offensively, set Worcester Sharks records, led the team in scoring. You know, it's, you know, I don't, you know, we don't make the decisions down here, I guess, but, you know, I'm sure that, you know, went down here in Worcester, if he had gotten a call up or two, would, you know, say, oh, you know, why is that happening sort of thing. But, you know, he's a, you know, 28-year-old kind of journeyman AHL defenseman that really blossomed in Worcester this year with the way that, you know, the Worcester Sharks play hockey, and that's getting everyone involved. So, you know, sure, we would have loved to have seen Danny Gruhl go up and, you know, get a game or two up in San Jose. But, you know, I know the San Jose Sharks have quite a few young defensemen in their ranks, quite a few of which that were in Worcester that did get a look and will get a look. So I think Danny Gruhl was just in one of those kind of tough positions where, you know, he's not you know, a young, you know, rookie fresh out of juniors or out of college. You know, he's been around for a while. And, again, there's quite a few guys in the AHL that would fit that bill. You know, the guys that you kind of wonder, you know, why hasn't he got a look in the NHL? It's, I guess it's just one of those unfortunate things.
Yeah, I guess he's almost like the quadruple A player in baseball. Like, really, really great in minor and not
sure.
Quite good. You hear like Jason Krogh. I hear Jason Krogh's like on the top of the leaderboard in the AHL every single year, and he doesn't have much of a long NHL tenure. So maybe Danny just got in the same spot.
Yeah, you know, that's a great point. You know, you see it in baseball as well. You know, Alexander Giroux, 60 goals last year in Hershey. Another, you know, 40-plus this year. And, you know, he's lucky to get two or three games up in Washington. And when he does play, it's very limited ice time. So, you know, it's just one of those things that some guys perform really, really well at the AHL level, and they're not projected to, you know, it's not the same style of hockey. It really isn't. You know, we're fortunate enough to have, you know, Claude Lemieux here last year. And I remember a conversation I had with him over dinner while we were on the road in Norfolk right before he got called up to San Jose about, you know, the difference between playing in the National Hockey League and the American Hockey League. And it's two different beasts. You know, he mentioned, you know, some guys that, you know, that have the success in the AHL, you know, it's a different game than it is in the NHL. They don't play as well. And he said there's a lot of guys that would score quite a few goals in the NHL that if they came to the American Hockey League, their game wouldn't work. So I guess it's all about the type of game, the type of style, and the type of speed that you play is whether or not you're successful at either the AHL level or the National Hockey League level.
Touching on a couple of these young defensemen that the Sharks have in the system, can you break down Mike Moore and Derek Jocelyn for us a little bit and let us know which player, in your opinions, may be more NHL ready to come help the Sharks next year?
Well, you know, obviously Derek has seen some time in San Jose, you know, over the last two seasons. You know, Moore's still waiting for his first action. You know, first off, we'll start with Mike Moore. He's been the man of the year for Worcester the last two seasons for all his community work that he does. A great guy in the locker room, on the ice. He's a leader, leads by example. He plays with emotion. He sticks up for his teammates. You know, he does the little things while he plays a physical game. He is a guy that, you know, that has really, you know, it seems like he gets better every time he plays. And, of course, he took the college routes going to Princeton University. But, you know, third year next year in Worcester, he'll be a guy that I think battles for a spot in San Jose at the start of the year. Derek Jocelyn, I'd say he's a little more offensive than Moore is, but Moore is more of a physical presence. Derek, more of a quiet leader, but he too leads by example, great head on his shoulders, well-spoken. I know you guys have seen him up in San Jose, but when he's in Worcester, he plays in all situations, the point on the power play. He had the hardest shot in the American Hockey League All-Star Game in Worcester a few seasons ago. And, you know, I think there are two guys that in the right situation, you know, can play, you know, full-time minutes in the National Hockey League. And, you know, we've been fortunate enough in Worcester to kind of watch them develop. Derek just out of Ottawa in the OHL and Mike out of Princeton, you know, collegiate hockey-wise. So, you know, again, I know San Jose's got a lot of decisions to make this offseason, but they've got quite a bit of talent in Worcester, and Moore and Johnson would fit that bill.
Well, I guess this wouldn't be a Worcester Sharks interview unless we asked the inevitable Nick Petrecki question. we've read your interviews on fearthefin.com, of course, and I don't want to ask the same question everybody's asking about Nick Petrecki, but I do want to call your attention. I don't know if you saw this quote. Daryl Hunt writes for sharkspage.com, and he wrote that maybe he even said that maybe this could be seen as a wasted season for Nick Petrecki, and he might have been better served even in the ECHL. Do you agree with that characterization, or do you think he, you know, he didn't play a single playoff game, and it seemed like he was getting healthy scratch there quite a bit late in the year. Is there things for us to be still hopeful about? Is he improving throughout the course of the year, or is it still kind of touch and go with this guy who was a first round draft pick?
You know, I hate to use the word dominated, but what, you know, when he was playing at Boston College, you know, they won the national championship. He was scoring the game winning goal in the bean pot. At, you know, at the age of 18, 19, I think everyone forgets a lot now that even collegiate players, you know, some of the freshmen are 21, 22 years old now. Nick Petrecki this year in Worcester, and, you know, you can say what you want, but he was the youngest defenseman on the youngest team in the American Hockey League. He's got terrific size. He's got a great shot. When he hits you, you feel it. You know, there were, he had a kind of a personal vengeance this year against, it was Michael Haley of the Bridgeport Sound Tigers. And when Nick Petrecki gets upset, I was horrified, and I was up in the press box. He can get scary mean, again, just 20 years old. And
Doug and I both have smiles when you say that. Doug and I both have smiles when you say he's so mean.
What's that?
We're smiling right now. You're making us happy. Keep going.
Well, and you know what? He didn't play in the playoffs. I've seen some guys that, you know, if they're not playing in the playoffs or even, you know, towards the end of the regular season and, you know, they're a healthy scratch, you know, so to say, you know, they don't take it that well. He was, you know, the first guy at practice the next day, the last one to leave the ice, great attitude. You know, when you talk to him off the ice, you'd have no idea he was a 20-year-old professional hockey player. He's got a great head on his shoulders, a terrific attitude. And defense can take time. It's a lot easier to jump up and play professional hockey as a forward than it is to come in, learn a new system, play defense on the youngest team in the American Hockey League. And sure, you know, Nick Petrecki learned a lot this year. Did he make mistakes? Of course he did, but as did every other young AHL, you know, defenseman, which there aren't too many, even, believe it or not, you know, right out of college, forfeiting their final 2 years at school to go play professionally. So I was really excited about Nick Petrecki at the start of the year, and to be honest, I'm real excited about Nick Petrecki here in June. I think he's got great potential, and again, he's still just 20 years old, and he's a man beast. He can get real scary, and you can't teach those intangibles. So, you know, there's a learning curve, you know, for everyone, and you know, I'm excited to see Nick Petrecki come here too.
Yeah, I think, I know some Sharks fans were almost even projecting him to make the Sharks lineup next year, but it certainly sounds like you're still high on this guy, so we definitely take your word for it. I mean, this is a guy that really impressed us, certainly, in the rookie camp last year. We were so excited. He took an amazing, actually, it has nothing to do with defense, but he did a shootout move that everybody was just, their jaws dropped to see this huge defenseman make three dekes in a shootout in front of 10,000 people. I was so impressed with his poise at the time. It's good to hear that he's still on the road, because you worry sometimes, you know, these guys can sort of get lost in the shuffle, but it seems like he's still going to have a great chance to play a lot next year.
Well, you know, if you speak to me 3-4 seasons from now and he's still not playing in the playoffs, and, you know, or if he was in and out of the lineup, then I think there'd be some reason for concern. But I think he gets the kind of the microscope look, because he was a first rounder. You know, there was a big hype about him. And if there wasn't that, you know, I don't think there'd be all the, you know, what's up with Nick Petrecki, or, you know, some of the grades you talked about on the report cards on, you know, Sharks page or that sort of thing. You know, everyone wants, you know, everyone develops their own way. Of course, we love to see kids come out of college or juniors and rip it up down here and get called right up to the NHL and score 20 goals. Most of the time, it doesn't work out that way. And there's no reason to worry about Nick Petrecki.
Another role I think the Sharks are going to be looking to fill in the offseason is that of a, you know, third-line shutdown center. We love Manny Malhotra up here. It didn't seem like he quite fit the bill of that Dave Bolin, the rat type player, of what he did to the Sharks in the Western Conference Finals. It really took some of our top players out of their game. Is there a guy in Worcester who you think could maybe fill that role for the San Jose Sharks?
Oh my God! You just described Andrew Desjardins to a T. He was a kid. I'm not sure if you're familiar, but we've had a line over the last year and a half called the Crazed Bats line,
right? Yeah.
As coined by Bill Ballou, the beat writer here in Worcester. But the guy centering that line is Andrew Desjardins, and he's been called by most teams in the AHL the most hated man in the American Hockey League. He's intense. He wins battles. He almost had 20 goals for us this year, over 100 penalty minutes, you know, shorthanded. He does it all. And he was a guy at the start of training camp last year, you know, didn't have a job. He didn't have an AHL contract. He played in the CHL in Laredo the year before in his first professional year. Was sent down to Phoenix in the ECHL last year, played a few games. Roy Sommer, you know, called him up, and he stuck. And he was one of our best players on the stretch last year and perhaps our most consistent player, the heart and soul of our team this year. And when I mean, he is fun to watch. Just a real pain in the neck to play against. Draws penalties when he drops the gloves, which he will, you know, 6, 7, 8 times a year. He generally wins. And the fans absolutely love him here in Worcester. And he is a rat. And love to have him on our team, but would hate if he was wearing another sweater.
We saw at the end of the year that he actually did, I think, sign an NHL contract. So I guess maybe it's possible that he could be on Doug Wilson's radar for next year. He certainly sounds exciting.
Well, you know what? Roy Sommer and David Cunniff, they love him. And not to speak for them, but they've never said a bad word about the way he plays. And I know Roy was extremely happy when Andrew signed his first NHL contract. We were on the road, and you know, Andrew was real excited about it. Just real hard work, and he's come a long way. And he'd be a guy that you know, he might be just that type of guy that, for whatever reason, whoop gel in the National Hockey League for, you know, for the way he plays. Never takes off a shift, a real pain in the neck to play against. And, you know, those guys are tough to find good ones anyway. And, you know, Worcester found one in the rough in Andrew Desjardins.
Eric, we want to thank you for being on Dudes on Hockey. Before we let you go, we have one more question for you. We saw on your bio on the Worcester Sharks website that you've actually appeared on The Price is Right and on Wheel of Fortune. So just out of curiosity, who's creepier, Pat Sajak or Bob Barker?
Who's creepier? Oh, man, you're talking about, you know, two icons. You know, it's I probably Bob Barker. you know, just the way he kind of, you know, handled himself, you know, with his beauties and that sort of thing. But I'd probably have to go with Bob Barker.
Excellent. Did you get Vanna's phone number or anything?
You know, Vanna was pregnant when I was on.
Oh.
So,
big stop sign
but,
there.
yeah, I was. Both was a lot of fun. So I can't complain.
Awesome.
Well, Eric Lindquist, voice of the Worcester Sharks, director of public relations and broadcasting. We really appreciate all your expertise on the Worcester Sharks, and thank you so much for joining us here on Dudes on Hockey.
Anytime, and you know, we love the fact. It seems like you know, more and more we have you know, a crew like you guys or you know, some of the other blogs are, you know, reaching out to Worcester to find out what's going on. So we like to know that. You know, you San Jose fans care what's going on in Worcester, and, you know, hopefully we'll see quite a bit of more traffic to and from Worcester and San Jose like we did last year.
Yeah, that's true. We like following the club, and who knows, you may even see Doug and myself out there one of these days.
Go Celtics,
it
Eric. Go Celtics.
Look me up.
We will. Take care, Eric. Thank you so much.
We've outspent to the cap. Ronnie, what you think about that?
Dude. Worcester Sharks, now we know.
We are on the inside. We're in the know.
We're in the know. We got all the scoop. Nick Petrecki, Danny Gruhl.
I feel much better. Do you feel better?
I feel better about Nick Petrecki.
Yeah.
I guess I don't know if I feel that much better about Alex Stalock because, I mean, how would he know? How does anybody know how a minor league goaltender is going to do in the bigs, right?
Sure. No, but I think his comments about Stalock and his comparison to Cam Ward, I think, was encouraging to me. And, you know, he certainly was like, well, if they don't want him, we'll certainly take him because they think they right. feel like they're a playoff team with Alex Stalock. And, you know, that's the big question in the off season right now, is Nabby staying, or are the Sharks going to go with a stopgap, a veteran stopgap, and let Grice back him up? Or are they really going to roll out the youth next year? And, you know, I would say Eric wasn't totally two thumbs up for Stalock is ready to go, you know?
Yeah.
And that certainly would be surprising. And we don't see a lot of cases like that where guys come in and have huge success just, you know, with one minor league season. Can you think of, I mean, guys off the top of your head? I mean, I don't know how long, I mean, Varlamov kind of caught lightning in a bottle last year, but how many minor league games did he play?
Right.
You look at a guy like Jonathan Bernier, who's probably the highest regarded minor league goalie prospect, right?
Yeah, right now, probably.
And he's played two full seasons, basically, in the AHL.
That's right.
So, I mean, Stalock's nowhere close to him in terms of, you know, marquee value. So I guess it would be surprising if Stalock got the call next year.
Yeah, I guess so. As much as we hope, because I think we both think that the money that you would spend on Nabby would be better spent someplace else. And we've talked about that time and again. So we have a question sort of that effect from JT, and JT says, if Nabby is going to be replaced of the available goalies, who fits the Wayne Thomas, Corey Schwab mold? More than any other position, goalies have a style, and that style is not going to easily change. Also, goaltending coaches and developers have a preferred goaltending style, and their style is probably not going to change either. How does this impact who the Sharks target? Does Toskola rank higher because he already did well in the Sharks system? Does he rank Turco lower because of his style? Or do you go after someone like Andre Pavlich over Carey Price based on style? So, good question from Jeremy. You know, sort of the veteran goaltenders we've looked at we've thought about, as much as I think I would rather cast my lot with Thomas Grice or Alex Stalock, it looks like the two goaltenders people are talking about most for the Sharks are Marty Turco being one, and maybe Dan Ellis? I don't know.
I've heard Chris Mason.
Yeah,
know,
or Chris
well.
Mason.
Although he might be too expensive. But listen, hey, Jeremy brings up a name we have not talked about.
Pavlich?
Vesa Toskola. Now, hold on, dude. Dude, when he got to Calgary, these are his numbers in Calgary in six games. 2.27 goals allowed, 9.18 save percentage.
It's good.
That's good. Now, you know, he played 212 minutes on a team that wasn't making the playoffs.
Right.
So, you know, probably wasn't under a ton of pressure. Does, you know, Doug Wilson go for something like that on the cheap? I'm not advocating for it. It would certainly make me really super nervous. I mean, especially given his struggles the last 2 years. You know, I think last year he was probably the worst regular goalie in the league. You know, with
playing for one of the worst teams in the league.
True,
though.
But, you know, he certainly was no bright spot.
That's right.
Do you go with a guy like Toskola, who's a bit of a risk? Or, you know, where's your confidence level in terms of the Sharks signing a veteran player?
I didn't really think so much about the style thing. So I guess that's part of it. I like Pavlich. I mean, I think he's a good goaltender. And certainly I know there's been some stuff about Carey Price. It's not that I'm not a fan of Carey Price. It's just that I think he's going to be expensive, and I think that there's no reason to get him if you have good goaltenders in the system already.
Why? And they do. I mean, we have Stalock and Harry Sateri and Sex Smith. You know, you've got guys who are highly regarded in the system. Sharks draft well. Why go with someone that young unless they were a home run? You know, if you can get your hands on Jonathan Bernier right now, you do it.
Right.
I don't even think the Sharks would be looking at someone like Corey Schneider right now.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so either. I think, I guess of all those names, I guess Pavlich is the most intriguing because, you know, he could turn out to be a home run if Grice and Stalock don't turn out. But, you know, I'm not so sure that when you go get a goalie that's as well situated as Turco has been, not that his numbers have been that great, but you're not going to try and change the way he plays. So I think they're just going to make the decision based on how good of a player is he, and is he going to fit in with the team? Is he going to bring to the team the stuff that they need? Is he going to play, you know, is he going to have the right salary structure? Is he going to play the right way? I think that's going to be more interesting to them than how he plays. But when you go with a young guy, maybe Carey Price would be a good example, then yeah, you might want to look for a melding of styles in that regard. So if they go after some of these older veteran goaltenders, I can't see style really playing a huge part in it. It's just sort of like, okay, get the guy ready to play, let's see if we can go. But we got good goaltenders in the system. You know, we stick with those, right?
I don't see how Pavlich is really that much different than going with Carey Price. I mean, in terms of...
be a lot cheaper.
You'd be cheaper, but, you know, he's 22, and you've just... You're going to bring in another guy who's just going to be... how is he any more of a sure thing than Thomas Greiss?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, he's maybe played more NHL games than Thomas Greiss. I mean, Pavlich played 42 games this year, but his goals allowed was 3.29. Now, that's not very good.
No.
You know, not I think really. He had some very good games, but that those aren't great numbers. And he did play 12 games in 2008. I guess he's got about 60 or so NHL games under his belt. So right. We'll see.
But still not a sure thing, right?
Yeah, no, not a sure thing. I think the surest thing they have out there is to maybe make a deal for Thomas Vokoun, you know, mm-hmm. which is I would imagine the price for that would be
extremely high.
Fairly high. Do the Sharks want to give up those kind of pieces in order to get a goalie for 1 year? I don't know.
Yeah, that's tough. Well, thanks for the email, JT. The email, of course, is questions@dudesonhockey.com. We're certainly interested in all your ideas in this offseason. A lot of questions still facing the Sharks. Trying to answer some of them this week. Got some good answers about the Worcester Sharks this week. And, of course, we'll be talking more next week. Are we going to hear from Rob Blake anytime soon, dude? That's still a big outstanding question.
Well, it's got to be before the draft. I think, you know, Rob Blake knows that he'll be holding up whatever action Doug Wilson has going on at the draft. So mm-hmm. I'm going to say it's possible that after the Stanley Cup Finals, you know, he's another guy who I don't think he'd be like, game six of the Stanley Cup Finals, Rob Blake's like, I'm retiring.
Yeah, he's not going to pull an A-Rod.
He's not going to do that.
No.
I think he's going to wait. And once the Stanley Cup Finals are over, you know, maybe within a week after that, we could hear that Rob Blake is hanging up his skates, or he may shock us all and say he's coming back
mm-hmm.
for another season, which I'm not sure how I'd feel about that. I don't know. How would you feel about that?
I'm in the middle about it. You know, if they get nothing and Rob Blake retires and they play with what they have, and that means Jay Leach is the number six, then I'm going to be disappointed, obviously, because I think the Sharks need to improve in that area.
I just can't see that happening.
If they use that as an excuse not to improve a D, then I'm going to be very upset. But if Rob Blake comes back, moves more to like the number five slot, give him some power play time, and they go out and get the number two, then I have no problem with it. You know, if he's going to take a big pay cut and get paid $1.5 million, then, you know, he's a great character guy to have on the team. Certainly seems to be a calming presence as the captain and all that kind of stuff. So it's not that I don't like Rob Blake. It's just a question of, can he fit in with where the Sharks need to go?
Right. The most interesting thing that I thought we got from Eric today was Andrew Desjardins.
Yeah, big time. Big time.
And it really does beg the question, dude. You know, he's unsigned right now. He's a restricted free agent. But, you know, the Sharks did retain his rights at the end of the year by signing him mm-hmm. to an NHL deal.
Right.
So now, you know, why would Doug Wilson do that unless he had, you know, the intention of at least seriously considering having him be part of at least an NHL deal to bring him up?
Right.
Gosh, he sure sounds like the type of guy we really need up there.
Yeah, you give him a two-way deal. It sounds like he wasn't even playing in the AHL. He was playing in a lower league. I think he... I can't remember where he was playing, but it was...
CHL, he said.
CHL. So, I mean, you don't want to give this guy, you know, any kind of money deal, but you want to see what he can do. I think you keep him around, and if that's a guy that, you know, for instance, if Manny Malhotra says, you know, I need $2 million or I'm walking, because I foregone that kind of money when I signed with you last year, and now I need the raise that I probably should have gotten. I mean, they say, geez, man, I don't know if we can afford that. Then maybe, you know, Andrew Desjardins is a guy that you want to keep around.
Andrew Desjardins on an NHL team might not be able to play the kind of role Manny Malhotra does, but mm-hmm. he might take Scott Nichols' job.
That's true.
It sure sounds like that kind of player, and he sounds like he's got the size and the feistiness to maybe go up against some of these top-line guys. Andrew Desjardins, let's keep an eye on that name.
And I'm pretty sure he's not Eric Desjardins' brother. Pretty sure. But I'm not going to commit to anything.
Nice, dude.
Eric Desjardins, no longer in the league. Philadelphia Flyer, okay, though.
Yeah, very good.
Philadelphia Flyer. Good.
You're very hockey savvy, dude.
Dude, I'm just saying. I don't want to make that mistake again.
You still haven't made up for that mistake.
You're rolling your eyes.
You're never going to live that down.
All right, I'm going to try. Thanks for listening to Dudes on Hockey. We'll catch you again next week, same time, same place. Go Sharks.
Later.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.